الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that whoever recites Darooda Paak just once, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 blessings upon them. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Allah azza wa jal in His infinite mercy warns us about this enemy, aduwwun mubeen, about shaitan in many, many verses. Inshallah, throughout the series, we'll be discussing many ayats of the Holy Quran where Allah Azza wa Jal warns us and tells us how to get protection from this avowed enemy. In one verse in Surah Baqarah, verse 169, Allah Azza wa Jal says, "The shaitan will command you to evil, wal-fahsha'i, and indecency. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and to say about Allah Azza wa Jal what you know not." So as you can see, shaitan with his whisperings influences us. He whispers to us, he says, "So and so is mocking you, why don't you take revenge?" And then he says, "If you keep quiet, people think you are a weakling, you are weak, and that person is going to take advantage over you. So don't leave him to carry on. Stop him now." So shaitan keeps on urging the person to take some reaction. He says, "Don't let the person take advantage over you. Otherwise, he's going to carry on doing this. Stop him now." Sometimes just on suspicion, shaitan will incite you to retaliate and take revenge. And sometimes maybe your suspicions are wrong. But shaitan does not care, because his main idea is to make you do something so that you are going to get into trouble. But you don't realize it is shaitan that is pushing you. So some people are so influenced and they get so angry that they may even commit murder and to take revenge. That means they want to be satisfied and they eventually will go and commit murder. So you see how shaitan will influence many people. And if you're not a strong person, if a strong person, shaitan will make you use your strength to show that nobody can mess around with me. I will fix them up. So then, how do you fix a person up? Take a gun and shoot him, or take a knife and stab him. And then your problem is not solved. You get yourself into more problems. So can you see what shaitan does? He destroys your life. Now what's going to happen? People are going to be fearful of you. Some people want to take revenge. Because whoever you killed or you hurt has got people that love him as well. So your problem is not going to be solved. And who is happy with this? Shaitan. Because he forced you and he made you, not forced you, he enticed you with whispering. Now if you are a weak person, shaitan will make you feel sorry for yourself. He says, "See, nobody worries about you. Nobody cares about you. See how they're taking advantage over you. See how they are mocking you. And they don't worry about you. They don't care about you." See, the only time they will worry about you is if you die. Then only they will realize that they are cruel. If you die, then they feel sorry for you. And then they will feel hurt. And they'll regret, why did they do this to you? So he makes you feel sorry for yourself so much that he is actually inciting you to commit suicide, saying that these people don't care about you. But if you take your life, then they'll think, "Oh, because of us, he's taken his life," and they'll feel sorry for you. So shaitan, how he makes you do these kind of things, he makes you take your own life. And shaitan leads you to indecency. You find many people do terrible and indecent things because of lust. As we mentioned earlier, how shaitan uses the nodes in the frontal part of your brain to incite lust. After you use your eyes and see something that makes you lust. Now the reason is the, for this is, we have given our eyes to shaitan. The ownership of our eyes is the shaitan. So we say, it's almost saying, you do what you want. When shaitan is allowed to have full control of what we see, do you think he wants us to see decent things? Do you think he likes us to look at the Holy Quran? Do you think he wants us to go and look at the face of an Islamic scholar? Do you think he wants you to go and look at the face of Amir al-Sunnat, on Igran al-Shura, on Madni channel? He wants you to look at pious people. Do you think he wants to look you to look at the face of your parents happily? Because all these things are means of earning goodness. Get sawab, get good blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. Or do you think he wants you to look at the picture of Kaaba Sharif and the green gumbad, the green dome of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will create love for going to Madina Sharif? Do you think he wants you to go to Madina Sharif? So what would shaitan do? Because if you have given ownership of your eyes to shaitan, he is going to use it for his own benefit. Because he wants to take you to Jahannam. So what he'll do? He will make your eyes consume dirty, filthy things and digest filthy things. So you'll find that person will start watching things, filthy things like pornography. And he will enjoy watching this filth. And you find at the same time, while you're watching this filth, he will make you feel excited. And then he will plan your moves for you. Because now he's created this desperate sexual urge in you by watching filth. And now he makes you feel excited. So every moment in your brain is this, that he is bombarding you with this feeling, saying that you have to go and get yourself to satisfy yourself. Because what has happened now, you have looked at something filthy that has gone into your heart. From the heart, it's gone into your mind. Now your mind is only filled with this desire that you have to go and fulfill this lust. And then he creates the opportunity. Because remember, shaitan has got many helpers. Because he wants you to do something bad. He is planning. So he gets you excited, because no more now you can use your sense. Your heart is now controlling you because of this emotion, this desire, this sexual urge. And now you want to go and do something. And worst of all is, if you are in a gang and all of them are not fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, all of them are like you. So you all think and discuss the same thing. So what happens? You find that shaitan changes you from a human, and now you act like a beast. You just want to satisfy your sexual urge. And that's how you find people committing rape, committing terrible crime because of this. And as you can see, this, once you do this, you have now done terrible sins, and you're going to fall very much deeper into the quagmire of shaitan. So this is something that we should guard ourselves against, because we have allowed shaitan to take use of our eyes. Because we don't have the willpower to follow Allah Azza wa Jal, where he said, lower your gaze. Because we think the people who lower the gaze are backward people. But this is what Allah Azza wa Jal, our creator, your creator and my creator, has said in the Holy Quran, lower your gaze. But shaitan does not want that. He wants you to look at everything. And then the third part of this surah, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُكُمْ بِسُوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And say about Allah Azza wa Jal what you know not. Now look at how Shaitan has influenced so many people. Those who do not believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the ones that have fallen for this. They have made man equal to Allah Azza wa Jal. They made partners to Allah Azza wa Jal. Some have made idols and are worshipping idols. Some are worshipping the creation of Allah, the sun, the moon, and saying that this is God. Some are worshipping snakes. Some are worshipping cows. So all these things, the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Can you see how shaitan has misled them? So what they have done, they say about Allah Azza wa Jal what they know not. And this is how he even tried to trick Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Bibi Hawa radiallahu anha. He tried to make them disfavored by Allah Azza wa Jal. But through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, they immediately regretted their mistakes and they cried for forgiveness. And Allah Azza wa Jal, who is most merciful, forgave them. So this is again a formula that if you make sins, we are human. The word insan comes from the word nasiya, means we are prone to forget. So but Allah Azza wa Jal has given us the opportunity to make tawbah, forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. And inshallah, if you ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness, then Allah Azza wa Jal is most merciful. If that seeking of forgiveness is sincere, coming from the bottom of your heart, and if we regret what we have done, and we sincere, make sincere tawbah, then sincere forgiveness, then Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive us. Alhamdulillah. In the mahol of Dawat Islami, for those who practice Madni Namat, every night, you have to fill in your Madni Namat card, do Fikr Madina. Look at this. What is Fikr Madina? You think about the actions you have done. Imagine you made sins with your eye. And you think about it and you regret this sin. And then you read Salat al-Tawbah. In Salat al-Tawbah, you are asking Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. Imagine, for those who practice Madni Namat daily, and daily they make Tawbah, is Allah Azza wa Jal not going to forgive them? So therefore we're saying, but the condition of Tawbah is, we just don't say, many people just say Tawbah, 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 Tawbah with their hands. It's not just this action, it has to come from within our hearts. We have to realize what we have done is a terrible sin. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive us. Another trick about shaitan is something that many of us will identify with. He pushes obligatory deeds to the background. In Islam, your obligatory duty, that means farz, takes precedence to establish Muslim identity and it is the foundation of belief. But shaitan will try and influence a staunch believer. And he'll make him reach a dead end where he'll try to make mustahab appear more inviting than a farz duty, an obligatory duty. So what shaitan wants you is to give up farz duty and do something else in his place and make you feel that you are pious. So he makes people believe that making weekly zikr, just zikr, is more important than reading your 5 times a day salah. And this is one of the tricks of shaitan. You find how many people every week, whether it's Thursday or whichever day they choose, they will come and make sure that every week they are there with the group and making zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Once a week they must, but they don't read the 5 times salah. Or you get some people who are punctual with the Jummah salah. They think, as long as I'm reading Jummah, this is enough for me, that I'm identifying with the Muslims, and that is enough. Or you'll find, look at this other trick. Many people you find will not perform the Fajr salah. They will perform the rest of the salah, but because of shaitan's influence, they feel too lazy, especially when the muazzin is saying, As-salatu khayrun minan nawm. The salah is better than sleep. Shaitan makes them sleep. He says, no, you can sleep another 5 minutes. Eventually they miss the salah. And many people don't care. As long as they read in the other 4, they think that is sufficient. Reading 4 times a day salah is sufficient. So, and people see them in the masjid 4 times a day and they think they are namazis. If you don't perform 5 times a day namaz, salah, you are a bare namazi. And for a bare namazi, it is said that none of his du'as are accepted. If you are a bare namazi, no matter what good actions you do, it'll be taken and thrown back at your face. So who has made you neglect your Fajr Salah? You put your alarm on. You heard the Muballigh of Dawat Islami in the weekly Ijtima talking about reading Fajr Salah in Jamaat. You made up your mind that tomorrow morning I'm going to get up. You put your alarm. You told your parents or your wife, get me up. But when the alarm rings, shaitan says, I have been running your life all along. Now you want me, you want to discard me? Let's see who's going to win. So as soon as the alarm rings, he taps you. And he whispers, you still got 5 minutes. So you put the alarm off. And that's it. He's won. So what should you do? We know, I mentioned earlier, that when you sleep, shaitan ties 3 knots If you get up taking the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, then one knot is open. You get up and make wudu, the second knot is open. And you read your Fajr Salah, the third knot is open. Then the effect and the impact of shaitan is taken away. And then you find that Allah Azza wa Jal, being pleased with you, will guide you because you got up in the morning and you thought of Allah Azza wa Jal. And how important this is. Important in this reason, in this sense, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that gave you the night to sleep, the calmness, the peace, the tranquility that night brings. It is from Allah Azza wa Jal, so that your body can rest, so that when Allah Azza wa Jal gives you day, then you can go and do your work. Can you see, do you ever think about appreciating the stillness of the night? You find the cars stop, the animals are resting, everything is resting, so that there's peace for you to enjoy your sleep. If mankind got together and tried to put the calmness and stillness and peace of the night in one big city, they will fail. But look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. He gives us this night all the time for us to rest. So what should we do? The fact they say that sleep is the brother of death. So Allah Azza wa Jal could have easily taken your life while you are sleeping. But He's given you another day. He's given you another chance to make tawbah and come close to Allah Azza wa Jal. But shaitan has worked so hard. He whispered and tried to leave you. You think he's going to finally leave you to make tawbah? You don't even know whether you're going to live till the afternoon. Maybe this Fajr Salah would have been your last Salah. Maybe you could have made sincere tawbah and given shaitan a tight slap on his face if you got up for the Fajr Salah. But shaitan knows that you're going to die. So shaitan will try and whisper. So how long are we going to allow shaitan to control our lives? And also one very important thing is, some people, again look at the trick of shaitan, they will read namaz 5 times a day. But they're too lazy to go to the masjid. Especially if the masjid is easy to go to. It's an easy access. So imagine some people will read namaz at home. And this is another trick of shaitan, because to read namaz in masjid by jamaat is wajib. Giving up wajib is a major sin. You become a fasiq. Again, you find how shaitan tricks many people. They will read the namaz at home with their families. And they will try and justify it. Because there is a hadith of beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it weren't for the women and the children in the homes, I will order the houses where there are men who read namaz and miss jamaat, I will order those houses to be burned down. Can you see how angry Allah, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with those people who do not read namaz in jamaat? And then there's another very big problem for people who read namaz 5 times a day, but they're not interested in improving themselves. You find many people, when you go for kafila, alhamdulillah, you will find many people who are namazis. When you start in kafila teaching them tajweed, they will get shocked. They say, we didn't know about these things. They don't know how to read Surah Fatiha properly. They don't even know how to say Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. They don't know how to read Surah properly. Sometimes even the actions of Salah, they don't know how to make Sajda properly, how to make Ruku properly. And when we tell them that Namaz ka chor, the thief of Namaz is one who does not pause in between every action. And they are shocked at this. Nobody has taught them. And if they didn't come for Kafila, they wouldn't have known this. They would have been reading namaz for the rest of their lives, reading it incorrectly, and the namaz would not have been accepted. Who is whispering to them, don't go to for kafila? Who is whispering to them, don't go to Madrasa al-Madina Balighan? Wherever Dawud Islami is active, you'll find this Madrasa al-Madina for the adults. Balighan means adults. So shaitan prevents them, because shaitan loves the way they read. Because they're insulting Allah Azza wa Jal. So all the effort they do is zero. Because of the lack of interest to improve themselves. For business, they will try everything to improve the business, to improve the qualification, so that they can get more and more money. But when it comes to deen, and all this we're talking about is farz ulum. And you'll be shocked when you go for Madhi Kafra, you find some people will tell you this. that they don't know the faraid of ghusl. And there are even old people who will come and tell you, we didn't know this. I recall an incident where we went for kafila in one country, overseas country, the Nigran of South Africa and myself were present, and we were talking about the basics of ghusl. There was an old man. He had white kurta, beard, amama sharif. He was sitting in the masjid before we came in and reading tasbih. So when we started talking about ghusl, he came with his chair and he sat down next to us and started listening. And when we finished, he had tears in his eyes. And he said in Urdu, Allah Ta'ala sent you all like farishtas. He says, I didn't know this. What's going to happen to me? What are you saying? This is the first time I'm hearing this. That means I have not been making my ghusl properly. I've been napak. I've been coming to the masjid. I've been holding the Quran. Imagine if you don't know the faraid of ghusl and you're napak and you're holding the Quran. What a big sin it is. Imagine if you don't know the faraid of ghusl and you go and hold the gilaf of Kaaba when you give hajj. So when are we going to learn? And may Allah Azza wa Jal increase the status of Amir al-Sunnat. He's seen this. He's got fikr of the ummah. Therefore he says, go for kafila. Go and attend all these programs that Dawat Islami is giving you free of charge in your areas. Not charging you 1 cent. So, shaitan knows this. Normally if you have to pay money, you become reluctant. Shaitan knows that Dawat Islami is the biggest threat. So therefore he'll put you against Dawat Islami. Because he does not want to let go of you. He wants to grab you and take you into Jahannam. And Dawat Islami wants to grab you from the clutch of shaitan and put you on the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim so that you can enter Jannah. This is what Amir al-Sunnat wants. And this is what he's living for, to save us from the fire of Jahannam. So all we have to do is open our hearts and minds and remove this cobweb, remove this influence of shaitan from our minds and hearts, and you will see how you will progress spiritually. So we make dua, Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to understand this message that has been given and recognize the tricks of shaitan. As you know, there are many, as we spoke about these tricks of shaitan, I'm sure many of you can identify with it. And the easiest thing for you is to change your company and become involved in the mahol of Dawat Islami. Then you'll be getting constant inspiration about changing your lives. But if you get involved with the mahol where they only talk about dunya and make you forget the reality which shaitan wants, then these friends that are mixing with you are not your friends. They're actually friends of shaitan, because they're keeping you away from gaining your rightful place in Jannah. So we make dua, Allah will give us tawfiq to be steadfast, have istiqamat, and do things for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. So my dear viewers of Madni channel, you'll find very often that someone's muballik of Dawat Islami will invite you to come for kafila. And shaitan knows the danger. He knows that if you're going to go for the kafila, you are going to start learning about your deen, and many of the illnesses and sicknesses in your character will become corrected. So he will try and influence you not to go for the kafila. He'll keep you busy. In fact, many people say, listen, I don't have the time, and please come again next time. And so he carries on. And sometimes shaitan works such that even for the muballigh will go and invite him once, invite him twice, invite him three times, and shaitan will whisper to the muballigh, say, you know what, you tried, this guy, don't worry about him now. You tried your best. So, this person gives up as well. But in the kafila course that we went to, we were told, don't ever give up. Because if you go and do neki ki da'wat or infradi koshish, especially neki ki da'wat, is mentioned in one hadith, that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the reward for that person who invites to goodness? He said, for every word that comes out from your mouth, Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the reward of 1 year's worship. Can you imagine this? And imagine your shaitan is standing here and saying that this person is giving nekiki dawat and look at how much a sawab is earning. So he whispers to you, no, you're wasting your time now, this guy 3 times. You can invite him 1 million times. You'll get that sawab for 1 million invitation. So shaitan tries and influences you. There's a very beautiful story about one muballigh. This happened in Pakistan. He went every time to invite a certain brother to come for the weekly ijtima. So every time he said, next time, next time, next time. So this brother decided, he went to his house and he sat down. It was a Thursday, the day of the ijtima. He said, today if you're not going to come, I'm not going as well. And he sat down in the house. So this poor brother didn't know what to do. He said, no, you don't go, I'm not going, I'm going to stay here. So eventually he felt very bad. He said, okay, never mind, I'll come with you. So he went with his brother. And look at the beauty of the weekly ijtima. He said he went, and there was obviously tilawat of Quran, Naat Sharif, and there was a very inspiring bayan. So after the bayan, he decided to wake up and go, thinking it's over. His brother said, no, it's not over yet. We're having zikr. And then he said there was zikr. He listened to the zikr. The zikr was very inspiring. When the zikr was over, he got up to leave. Again, this person said, no, wait, it's not over yet. So he waited. It was time for dua. And he said when the dua started, he says his hair stood up. Because he says the dua was so moving that people started crying. Even the person making dua was crying and people were crying all around him. He said he started crying as well. And he said he cried so much. And he made sincere tawbah from the bottom of his heart because this dua touched his heart. And he decided then and there, he said, Ya Allah, I'm making tawbah of all the sins I have done. And he said, that dua worked for him and today he is a muballigh of Dawat Islami. So as you can see, coming for kafila, going for the weekly program, this is something the shaitan does not want you to get involved in because you're going to come out of his clutch.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
To understand the tricks of shaitan is one incident about a Jewish scholar who was very, very pious, and he was known to be very pious. And there were 3 brothers who had a very pious sister, and they were going for jihad. And they did not know where to keep the sister. So then they thought about this pious priest. And they went to him and said to him that we have a sister and we can't think of anybody better and more trustworthy than yourself. So please take care of us. We're going to fight on the path of Allah. So please help us and take care of our sister. So he said, no, you know, I protect myself from looking at women and all this. And he tried, and they kept begging him, so eventually he agreed. And he made a condition that he'll prepare food for her and leave it outside the door of his monastery. And that she must come and pick the food up herself. He don't want to look at her. So they made this condition and he started that. So then shaitan went to him and whispered, telling him, how silly you are. This is a pious girl and you want her to leave her room, come in the open and pick up the food from your doorstep. What if people see her beauty? Isn't it better if you take the food and leave it on her doorstep so that she can open the door and take the food herself? So he thought about that. It seemed okay. So he said, yeah, that's a good idea. Who whispered this thought to him? Shaitan. And what was he? He was a pious person. So shaitan whispered this. So after that he started taking the food and leaving it by her doorstep. And shaitan, look how clever he is. He let this carry on for some time. Then he said, now see, she has to open the door. What if she's opening the door to take the food, somebody sees her and they see she's alone and she's beautiful. Don't you think it's better for you to go and take the food and leave it inside? And shaitan kept putting this thought in his mind. Then he said, yes, that sounds a good idea. So then after that, he used to open the door and put the food inside. Then after, shaitan started whispering to him, saying, how rude you are. This poor girl is alone. She talks to nobody. Why don't you start at least talking to her? He can give a good advice and nasihat and all this. So he thought, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, there's no harm in that. So see how shaitan has led him into a chamber alone. And we know our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that if you are alone with a female, the third one is shaitan. So now shaitan started creating this attraction between them. So eventually he ended up making her pregnant, because he got attracted to her. Now shaitan whispered, said, you are such a pious person. What people will say, don't you think it's better for you to kill the child? So there's no evidence. So he discussed this with the mother of the child and said, you know what, you're going to get into trouble and I'm going to get into trouble. So he killed the child. And then shaitan says, you killed her baby. You think she's going to keep quiet? One day she's going to tell somebody and then you are finished. So his best thing is you must kill her as well. Then he said, no, this is right. So he went and killed this girl as well. Then he, in the room, in one corner, he dug a hole and he put the baby, where he buried the baby, he buried there as well and he covered it up. After some time, the brothers returned. They came to him and asked him, what happened to her? Where's our sister? He said, oh, I'm very sorry to give you this news. When you're gone, she fell sick and she passed away. And I buried her. And he showed her somebody that was buried. He said, I buried her here. So they went and they cried and then they went home. And shaitan went to each one of them in the dream and told each brother the same story, that this priest is lying. He killed your sister and her baby. He made her pregnant and she is buried in the room. You go and dig in that corner of the room, you'll find the remains. So these brothers went and they confronted the priest. And when they asked him, he eventually confessed. So eventually he was sentenced to be hanged, to die. And now shaitan comes to him and said, see, I got you into this mess. And I'm the only one that can save you from this mess. Do you want to be saved? He said, yes. Then he said, reject Allah Azza wa Jal and accept me as your Lord, I'll save you. This wretched person did what shaitan asked him to do. He rejected Allah Azza wa Jal and accepted shaitan. Shaitan looked at him, he laughed on his face and he went away. So this person got executed and who he took as his Lord. Now can you see the deception of shaitan? And I also mentioned the Holy Quran as well regarding this. That on the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment, when we all will be called to account, and then many people will blame shaitan. They say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, we didn't do this. Shaitan made us do that. So then shaitan will say on the day of judgment, say, as mentioned in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and shaitan will say, this is from Surah Ibrahim, verse 22, translation from Kanzul Iman. And shaitan will say, when the matter has been decided, verily Allah promised you a promise of truth, and I too promised you, but I betrayed you. I have no authority over you except that I whispered to you, I called you, and you responded. So blame me not, but blame yourselves. I cannot help you, nor you can help me. I deny your former act of associating me as a partner to Allah Azza wa Jal. Verily, Allah Azza wa Jal says, there is a painful torment for the zalimun. And there's something to ponder upon this. Because shaitan says here, that Allah Azza wa Jal made a promise of truth. That means shaitan knows that our deen is the truth. That we are the true followers. And therefore he comes at us. And then he says, I did not force you. I just whispered and you followed willingly. So therefore, dear viewers of Madhi channel, try and learn the tricks of shaitan. We spoke about many points today. So many of these things you can associate with yourselves. And if you have these kind of weaknesses, make tawbah sincerely. Don't wait for tomorrow. Make tawbah and inshallah, with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, we'll be able to come and overcome this influence of shaitan. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.